At first you don't succeed, try again. And listen to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. Hi there, I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week's episode is brought to you by Gigapets, the Palm Pilot, and Windows 95. Wait. Sorry, I had my clock set to 1997. I know. 20 years ago today, you were probably dying for one of those pixelated animals. A plastic stylus, perhaps, or maybe even a randomly crashing all the time pre-smartphone gadgetry. I was too. Maybe you're not sporting that Gigapet on your backpack anymore. Like I was. But maybe you are still using that good old VME that was created way back then. But today, we're putting that venerable VME to bed, along with our Laserdisc collection, and bringing in the new VPX. Let me bring in a team from Elma Electronics to explain why hoodoo rituals are sometimes needed to implement new technology features on in open VPX chassis.
Right now, I've got a set of folks from Elma Electronic. Thank you so much for joining me. First off, Steven, Good Connect, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Elma Electronic all about?
I'll give you a bit of a history to answer that question. Elma historically has been a chassis manufacturer, 19-inch chassis. That's how we were born. So fast forward to 2009, Elma branched out from being a chassis manufacturer with power supplies and backplanes, branched out into the integrated system area. And they did that by purchasing a company called ACT Technico. ACT Technico, we designed and built our own line of storage cards. We reached out to partner companies for single board computers such as Motorola at the time and Concurrent. So as ACT Technico, we were always trying to move up the food chain, so to speak, to that fully integrated system.
Yeah.
And Elma, in their own time, were doing the same thing, but from the opposite direction, being the chassis builder. So the acquisition by Elma of ACT Technico formed kind of a perfect marriage of an integrated system provider. So what we are now, what we project, is to be an integrated system provider, sales and service, project-based systems, productized systems. We're now moving into small form factor systems as integration increases. Mm-hmm. And when I say small form factor, I mean specifically not backplane and interconnect backplane-based systems, but it's not slot card systems, rather Comm Express modules, PCIe 104. So as systems get smaller, our real value is in a packaging. We do very well in integrated packaging and thermal modeling and shock and vibration. So you combine that, a package is a package. So we like to think of ourselves as a packaging company as well.
All right, Michael Monroe's here, and at this year's Embedded Tech Trends Conference, you gave a session called A Steaming Cauldron of VPX Fixins, All the Wicked Ingredients You Need for High-Speed Wizardry. So first, that may be one of the best session titles I have ever heard in my entirety in this business. But what does this recipe include?
The recipe includes all the things that make the VPX architecture the platform of choice today for today's embedded systems, particularly in the defense industry. So the cauldron is filled with things like other industry standards, such as MORA, the modular open radio frequency architecture. It involves the Victory architecture, which is a software interface standard, the newly being developed host standard, which is coming out of NAVAIR, the Pax River people. In addition to that, you have that cauldron is filled with just a vibrant ecosystem with lots of other suppliers, so that whether your project's big or small, there's somebody who makes boards. So that cauldron is filled with a lot of components as well, things like optical backplane modules that VITA has standardized, RF coaxial connectors through the backplane. We've always had on, in other architectures, we've had RF coaxial connectors on the front boards of things, but it always meant, you know, cables passed in front of other slots and you couldn't get things out. Going directly through the backplane with things like optical ribbons and RF cables really has opened up new opportunities for the VPX architecture. Radial clocks, which is something that you'd have to go to VXI or PXI to get, now has been added to the cauldron of VPX fixings. And radio clocks are going to be very important for a lot of really high-end applications, signal analysis, signal conditioning. And then I didn't mention the, along with more of that open modular open radio frequency architecture, you have the software-defined radio standard that's also within VITA 49.2 and soon to be 49.3. So one chassis can control lots of different instruments. So the steaming cauldron of VPX fixings includes a lot of things, not just the hardware items that you'd see if you open the box up.
Sure, that makes sense. All right, next up, I've got David Hinkle. Now, in another session at Embedded Tech Trends this year, which had an equally awesome title, Sometimes Hoodoo Rituals Are Needed to Implement New Technology Features in Open VPX Chassis. So what kind of hoodoo, David, are we doing here?
Okay. Well, one of the things that we think about OpenVPX is that it's an open standard, so anybody can do it.
Right.
But the reality is when we get into these type of standards and all of the type of things that we talked about earlier, we have a lot of knowledge you need to have.
Sure.
And you need to make certain that end-to-end things work. You have to become an expert in VPX. You have to become an expert in multiple vendor products. So in order for the open architecture to work, it takes more than that. I always like to say it's not your grandfather's VME, right? VPX is something that is new, requires somebody who understands it, and it's no longer a matter of just sticking boards into a system. Somebody
right.
like Elma has to understand the whole paradigm of integrating not only the I.O., the cabling, the architecture.
Sure.
Many of the backplanes are based on the standard, but they're semi-custom in terms of the profile or the topology that they want.
Right.
So we need to be able to work with our customers and understand that, and sometimes it does require ritual, especially when you're implementing new things. Like we just recently worked on a project where we're about almost simultaneously producing the product with the standards being approved. So, you got to be a little bit of ahead.
Right.
You have to work with multiple vendors to coordinate all of their activities along with what we are doing in the integration, building a backplane. So, sometimes rituals are needed to make it all work.
Sounds like it. All right, guys, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I'm going to give this over to Michael because I heard that you're an up-and-coming beekeeper. How and why did you get involved in beekeeping?
Well, it all started with my children. So my wife used to record the visits of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was with a beekeeper.
Okay.
And she had recorded that, and she did things like the Little Tykes rotocasting. Anyway, I would listen to these back on, these were VCR tapes that she made.
Yeah.
And I'd listen to them when I came home. Shortly after that, there was a three-part article in the New Yorker on a woman beekeeper up in Vermont, and I had read that just coincidentally. And then I moved to a chassis company in Brockton, Massachusetts, and it turns out that one of the other salesmen and one of our cabinet suppliers were both beekeepers, and by then I was about hooked, and so I started subscribing to a bee magazine. A lot of people said my interest in connectors is similar, that, has all these sharp pins and stuff, and I'm
right?
just really into the masochistic aspect of these things. But I myself find that just sitting in front of the hive and watching the bees come in and the different color of pollen just is so relaxing.
Aww.
And takes me away from the stress of all this voodoo culture,
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me, everyone.
Next up, let's keep going with our open architecture theme for this week. My next guest is Mike Walmsley from TE Connectivity, and we're talking about rugged embedded computing. Check it out.
My guest today is Mike Walmsley from TE Connectivity. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Glad to be here.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who does not know, I'm not sure who those people would be, what is TE Connectivity all about?
It is key connectivity, but we do a range of products. We're a $12 billion company, so very large, cover a lot of different industries from automotive to industrial to datacom to military and aerospace. And then we do connectivity solutions for our customers. So in the mil aerospace, we do not just connectors, but we do cabling, harnessing, accessories that go with harnessing. We have sensors, we have relays, a lot of electromechanical components to fill out a solution set.
Excellent. So Let's talk about rugged embedded computing specifically. What do you guys bring to the party there?
So we have a wide array of technical expertise. So we do high-speed design, board-level products. We do some of that in our Datacom group. We also have capabilities that cross over into our Mil Aerospace. So we have a very dedicated signaling integrity team that will do connector and channel analysis for customers to gain higher speeds and look at board terminations and board designs, really enable the connectors to be used at higher data rates. We also do RF, we have optics, we have those skill sets and people specifically trained and experienced in those areas. So it's not just looking at copper solutions off the board.
Yeah.
We can do the package.
Excellent. So let's talk about trends. What are you seeing, the trends specifically that drive new interconnect design?
So some of the trends that we're seeing are the higher speeds. So we're pushing higher and higher data rates.
Sure.
When we look at VPX, which is a real focus for us, the VPX connector that we qualified for VPX back in 2006 was rated at 6.25 gigabit per second. We're pushing 10 today. We've got a path toward 16 and then looking toward 25. As processors get faster, the connectors have to support those higher speeds and data rates. So that's a big one. Our signal integrity engineers that do the electrical analysis are hugely important in our design cycle and really generating an advantage for us. The other areas are smaller packaging. So we heard this week about FPGAs and the processing speeds and the number of IOs and how the packages are shrinking. A real shift toward 3U, like smaller computing package solutions. So
yeah.
We have less and less space to get the connector content through the channel.
Sure.
So we're improving density, shrinking the size of our contacts and the structures of our connectors so we can get more data and more broadband through the channel. And we're also looking at size and weight. Swap's always been important, and it's continuing to be important.
Okay, Mike. So how does the drive toward open systems architecture and industry standard solutions impact your roadmap for development?
So we look at VPX as a very strong focus for us. We want to make sure we support all the efforts within the VPX world, understand where they're going, where the customer's heading. Because what that does is if we develop these solution sets that are widely adopted by, you know, many different companies in the industry, we can focus on a few select designs instead of scattering our resources across many different custom solutions.
Sure.
It helps our customers and the primes and all the military branches because they're bringing in solution sets without investing heavily into new technologies for every application. They're rebuilding, reusing technology that exists. And we can produce in larger volume. So, you know, today we're producing VPX connectors. We'll build connectors in volume, get them on distributor shelves. They can be designed into many, many different applications just with the same subset of parts and just a reuse. So it really provides some economies of scale, makes it more efficient for us from an engineering standpoint.
Sure.
The potential downside of it is that is if you're developing around a standard, you may be focused on a set of requirements that may limit you in some flexibility in certain directions that you may think you want to head. But by far, you know, the market acceptability of an industry standard solution is really going to really outweigh that.
All right, Mike, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. I know you enjoy some golf in your free time. Is that true?
Yes, I do. I'm not a great golfer, but I get out enough.
Neither am I, but that's okay. What's better, your long game or your short game?
It kind of depends on the day, but typically my longer game's a little bit better.
Okay, second part B question. Where's your favorite place to play? Is there somewhere around your hometown?
We have a course near us that's got an island green on it.
Nice.
It's got some great roving hills and a lot of trees, and it's got such a mix of course. It changes every few holes, so you never know what you're going to get.
Right. That's normally my game.
But the variety
is a lot. I think that's another reason.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. Thanks, Amelia. Good to be here.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, which also includes our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Ryan page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 17th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.